2015 marks the 50th anniversary of Winston Churchill's death. And to commemorate the occasion and also to recognise the UK former Prime Minister's contributions, activities are being planned across the country, and among them is an exhibition at the Science Museum in London called Churchill's Scientists, which has just launched. Rachel Boone showed Kat around.
So Churchill Scientists is exploring Winston Churchill's relationship with science during the Second World War and post-war period when he was in power. We look at his relationship with Frederick Lindemann, the first science advisor to government, and we explore the work of the scientists who were taken out of their research, put into a very unusual environment during the Second World War to develop drugs, to develop radar systems, to analyse attacks and to try and save ships from U-boat attacks. And then afterwards we look at what they did in the post-war period. What skills did they learn in that heightened experience of wartime research?
I tend to think of him as, you know, the war hero with a big cigar rather than hanging around with guys in lab coats.
Absolutely. As a young child, he had quite a boyish fascination with science, but never achieved academic glory in the subject. But he was very interested in the work of H.G. Wells and read Origin of Species. But interestingly, he was the first Prime Minister to have a scientific advisor constantly at his side. One of the legacies that we look at in the show is how that appointment of a scientific advisor became common in every government after Winston Churchill's first term as Prime Minister. Churchill was very visual, and Lindemann and a group of his scientists called the S Branch brought together science in a very visual way, looking at graphs. If we just walk around the corner, I can actually point one out to you so I can describe it. So he had his own statisticians who brought together information looking at cargoes lost at sea, the stocks of food types, looking at bacon and ham and cheese, things that Britain really depended on as imports. And the way that they depicted this information was using these very colourful graphs, as we can see here.
These look like the kind of infographics we see in the papers today, except they look hand-drawn and coloured in with felt-tip pens.
That's absolutely correct. And this is actually the first time that these graphics have been in an exhibition, and they come from the Churchill archives in Churchill College in Cambridge.
So let's go and have a look at some other things.
Rear Admiral Torness, who is in command of the operation, and Dr. Penny turned to watch the great cloud after its initial blinding flash was over.
We're now in the section called Health and Nutrition. So let's have a look at these two people here, Robert McCants and Elsie Widdowson. Tell me what they were up to prove whether you could or couldn't live successfully on rationing.
Well, they were two nutritionists. Just before the outbreak of the Second World War, they were working at Cambridge. They were interested in the nutritional value of food. And when it looked like war was on the verge of outbreak, they led the team of willing volunteers and actually tested the effects of a reduced diet. And they did this by heavily reducing their intake of food and then subjecting themselves to rigorous exercise in the Lake District. Their important finding is that they were concerned that there might be calcium deficiency if the British public didn't have enough milk and cheese, which is what they depended on imports. So they suggested putting in calcium carbonate or chalk into bread. And that's something that continued long after the Second World War.
I think someone put calcium carbonate into the meal I had out in the restaurant last night, judging by the way it tasted. That was Rachel Boone. She was showing Kat around the rather excellent, if we may say so, new exhibition on Churchill and science at the Science Museum in London. And it runs until the middle of next year.